Our next speaker is also a true pioneer, in his case, in communications. He's known and worked with many top business leaders. He joins us tonight to share with us his vision of the work and impact of our honoree this evening. Daniel Edelman is the founder and chairman of Daniel J. Edelman Incorporated, the highly respected, largest privately held, and sixth largest public relations company in the world. His firm has won 35 silver anvils awarded by the Public Relations Society of America for outstanding programs, and was selected in the year 2003 as Agency of the Year by both the Holmes Report and Inside PR magazine. Dan graduated Phi Beta Kappa from Columbia College and earned an MS degree from Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. He's the recipient of Columbia University's Distinguished Alumnus Award and the John Jay Award. He is the 1992 Jewish United Fund of Chicago Communicator of the Year. The Arthur Page Society inducted him into the Hall of Fame in 1997, and he's received the Gold Anvil Award from the Public Relations Society of America, the highest award awarded in public relations. In 1999, he also received the first ever Outstanding Achievement Award from the China International Public Relations Association, and his awards just go on from there. I'm really pleased to introduce Dan Edelman.
Thank you. That sounded like I was going to make the speech, but that's going to be Bob. Thank you very much. Bob heard that I was going to make some remarks tonight, and he said, I want to talk to you. I have something very important to discuss with you. Will you please make it 1 minute? So my 1 minute's almost over, but I'll take advantage of Mr. Thoreau's invitation to talk 5 or 10 minutes. It's really a pleasure for Ruth and me to celebrate the presentation of the Alex de Tocqueville Award to our good friend Bob Galvin, and especially when he's here with his bride, Mary, and quite a few of their family who also are here and I met earlier. Before I got to know Bob, I had the experience of meeting his father, Paul Galvin, the founder of Motorola. He headed up the Electronics Industry Association at the time, and we were invited to compete for the account of the trade association. We were competing with big firms. I went there alone. Our firm was very small. It had just been founded a couple, 3 years ago. Before that, I don't know how the heck we got on the list. And Mr. Galvin was sitting at the head of the table, and when I finished, he peppered me with a series of questions, and I really was perspired over that. I sweated it out, however, but we didn't win the account. The man was direct, no nonsense, and I know some of the further generations of the Galvin family are here. He's somebody you would have been very proud of. I'm sure that you didn't have an opportunity to get to know him. Maybe some of you did. But I would wonder where we all would have been if we didn't have the car radio that he created, which we had to use on our dates, and we used with pleasure. And also without his earlier product, which enabled you to plug the radio into the electricity and to have it work. We were using batteries before then. Bob is quite different from his father in many ways, but like him, he's extremely creative and a builder. He took Motorola from a few hundred million dollars in annual sales to $27 billion and was the first company into television, transistors, paging, cell phones, semiconductors, numerous other high-tech products such as electronic engine controls, computer systems. He took the company worldwide in the 60s. I've been traveling throughout Asia for many years, and it was hardly a city that you'd get to that didn't have a big Motorola billboard at the airport or in a key location downtown. It was truly global. He's been engaged in every facet of public service, focused on alternative methods of systems of energy before that became a national issue, which it is certainly today. He has taken on many other important responsibilities, being one of the two saviors of the Illinois Institute of Technology, located in Chicago. More recently, Bob has been an author. You've heard about his book, America's Founding Secret, describing the Scottish Enlightenment, which Bob points to as the source of much of the knowledge absorbed by our founding fathers who created our democracy and market economy. And I'm sure Bob will be talking about that a little bit as he speaks tonight. I've heard Bob speak on many occasions at the Economic Club of Chicago dinner some years ago. I sat near him on the dais. I noticed he had a card with 10 bullet points on it, and he referred to that a little bit, but he spoke without notes, as I am, with notes. And I've heard him speak on the Scottish Enlightenment and on other subjects, and he, I'm sure, will tonight again. He said, if I talk too long, he'll talk shorter, so we'll try to move along as fast as possible so that you get the benefit of his words. He's received dozens of awards from universities, business associations, industry, even the French Legion of Honor. It's so appropriate we'd honor him with the Alex de Tocqueville Award. De Tocqueville, when he came to the United States to write that famous book on democracy in America, was just 29 years old, an original thinker, pragmatist, who believed in individual freedom, and Bob reflects those wonderful characteristics. Ruth and I, have been had the privilege of being close to Bob and Mary Galvin for more than 40 years. Bob put it at 45 tonight when we were talking earlier. He was president of the Chicago chapter of YPO and engineered my nomination to succeed him. We've played tennis and he's a fierce competitor, and I learned tonight that he sculls. In addition to playing tennis quite regularly, he does sculling, which I was reminded, I hadn't heard the term for some time, is in a boat, you're on your own, it's like rowing, and Mary does it too. And so they're both, Bob characterized her as being the only great grandmother, probably, who's sculling regularly. We've joined Bob and his family on many evenings in connection with family celebrations, events at one of our homes, or civic dinners. And of course, most of you know, they're the parents and grandparents and great-grandparents of a lovely brood of Galvins, and many of them you can recognize from the Galvin look. For many years, we were owners of property at John Gardner's Tennis Ranch in Scottsdale. Ruth and me in a casita, and Bob and Mary and their children and grandchildren in a beautiful home on top of the hill. They fully deserve that because Mary literally discovered the place, and she and Bob convinced John Gardner to make Scottsdale his second tennis resort, a larger version of the one he was running in Carmel. Your honoree tonight is a man of great talents, wonderful character, and a humanist. He has excelled in business and in public service. He's warm, friendly, modest, and democratic. I'm pleased to join you in honoring him tonight, as Ruth is my good wife. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dan. I know that there's quite a number of people in the audience who have also known Bob for many years and can testify in many other respects.